So part of what we did in Cinema Women, you know, was particularly to sort of promote lesbian filmmaking. So it was something that I was already kind of quite involved in, you know, through my work as a filmmaker and someone involved in film, but also, you know, being a lesbian involved and interested in lesbian politics. So when I went to Channel 4, you know, I was working on all sorts of different kinds of films, but all with a kind of, you know, continuing that notion of oppositional filmmaking, both in Britain and elsewhere. But one of the things that started to happen at that time was a kind of push for, you know, there to be much kind of more presence of gay men and lesbians on television for us, you know, to have our own programmes. And it was at that particular moment of, you know, we were in the kind of still in the early years of AIDS, you know, so gay politics was very sort of present. And it was also, as we were also heading towards Clause 28. So, you know, there were lots of, I mean, I think it was a very sort of interesting political moment in terms of gay and lesbian history. There was also a report done that I can't remember the name of, but it was about kind of the representation of gay men and lesbians on British television. Which, you know, unsurprisingly, it was abysmal. You know, there was very little representation, and the representation there was overwhelmingly stereotypical and negative. So there were kind of lots of things happening outside of Channel 4 around, you know, political groupings and individuals who were trying to push for the opening up of television to gay and lesbian sensibilities and lives. And Channel 4 was, in a sense, the obvious place for it to happen because, you know, part of its remit was to provide a space for, you know, unheard voices, you know, interests that weren't catered for by the existing channels, BBC and ITV. And you know, the irony being it was set up, of course, by the Thatcher government, and Norman Tibbett was, once Channel 4 started, he was kind of shocked and outraged because his idea of interest not already catered for were things like train spotting and stamp collecting, and as opposed to, you know, all these kind of radical, so-called lefty things that immediately, certainly the right-wing press and the government, you know, accused Channel 4 of doing. So anyway, Channel 4 was the sort of an obvious home for, you know, if we're going to have programmes made by and seeking an audience of, you know, gay men and lesbians, that was the place to happen. And in a sense, I was the kind of obvious person to do it, you know, partly because the little bit of Channel 4 that I was involved in, you know, that's almost all we did, was working with these kind of unheard voices. And we had a particular set of politics within our, you know, there was three of us commissioning programmes, which was, you know, to bring women's voices, you know, black voices, all of those things, and, you know, to discuss the issues. And also, at the time, I think certainly I was probably the only out gay man or lesbian at Channel 4. I mean, clearly there were loads, but I was the most sort of obviously out. So that sort of became one of the things that I decided, right, you know, this is an opportunity to do this. And I started to kind of run with it in terms of trying to, you know, get quite clearly defined and, you know, identifiable gay and lesbian programmes on television. And it was a battle. It was a real battle. You know, lots of kind of, a lot of resistance to it, from both in terms of sort of just, you know, homophobia, But also dealing with, I mean, this was a point in history where Mary Whitehouse was still, you know, quite a powerful force. I mean, it's hard to believe it these days, but she was. And her together with the right-wing press, there was a lot of pressure to say, you know, we shouldn't be having any of this on television. There was also within Channel 4 a lot of kind of, oh, you know, we don't all want all these kind of programmes that are directed towards, you know, particular audiences. That's kind of ghettoising. You know, it should be all over British television, which, of course, I completely agreed with. The fact is it wasn't. Mm. And there was they weren't proposing anything that was going to change it. Mm. So, you know, of course, there are issues about whether, all sorts of issues about, you know, whether you really can, you know, make gay and lesbian television. What is it? All of those things. But it seemed like a strategy to try to get something moving, you know, to try to actually make an impact on the representation of gay men and lesbians. So what I did was, once In the Pink had happened, I then started moving forwards to try to get this weekly series idea off the ground. And I started sort of consulting with just people on the outside who I knew, who worked, you know, worked around film and television, and also just trying to kind of get as many perspectives as I could from gay and lesbian activists to get a sense of what people wanted to see, you know, rather than it just being me, you know, what's my idea of what I want to see. And then eventually kind of found, sort of brought together a whole set of filmmakers to make the first series of Out. You know, we were deciding it was going to be a magazine-style programme with lots of kind of different filmmakers making different styles of films, different, you know, news reports, all those sorts of things, to make it into something which was, you know, trying to bring in different perspectives and different visions of gay and lesbian life. Because, I mean, this, the notion of there is a gay and lesbian, you know, sensibility or a set of interests, of course, is nonsense. You know, lots of difference between what gay men and lesbians wanted to do, but also even within that, just completely different sets of interests. So working with different filmmakers, I felt was the best way to try to bring in those differences. So that's the first series, kind of was this kind of set of films made by different people and kind of woven together by one production company into something that sort of worked as a magazine programme. And it was, again, incredibly successful.
What years did those
It started in 1989 and it ran till, I think the last series was 94, but I couldn't swear to it. I've forgotten. It was 93 or 94. I mean, it sort of evolved over the years in terms of the things that were being talked about, you know, as, I mean, it's interesting, you know, the first sort of programmes were partly about just blur, you know, because it had never happened before. It was getting everything out there. And it then sort of evolved as gay and lesbian politics evolved and became, and also became more present in other areas, you know, because I think one of the things it did is sort of started to open up television to the fact that you can have this sort of stuff on television, you know, so you end up some years later with Queer as Folk, you know, which I don't know. I mean, who knows what might have happened if Out hadn't happened, but lots of things started to become possible. You know, nowadays, of course, it's kind of a given, isn't it? You have gay and lesbian filmmakers. You have, you know, there are representations in a much more kind of diverse way than, you know, they were sort of 20 years ago. I mean, coming to London was absolutely partly about wanting a career in film, but it was also, you know, where else were there going to be lots of lesbians?
Where did you find the lesbians?
Well, I have to say, rather stereotypically, the first lesbians I found were in gateways.
Brilliant. Tell me about that.
Because, in fact, where up? Because I lived just over the Battersea Bridge when I first came to London. And, you know, realised it was walking distance. So I, you know, that's where I went for a relatively short period, actually. Because I had kind of discovered feminism by then, but I hadn't kind of worked out what the relationship between feminism and lesbians quite might be, and also how, you know, quite how to get involved in that world. Whereas at Gateways, all you had to do was turn up, really. And, I mean, you were supposed to be introduced by somebody, but by the time I was going, you know, they were letting almost anybody in.
Did you go on your own then?
Mm.
What was your first impression?
Well, kind of dark and rather small and terror, you know, terror, really. kind of, because I had no idea, really. And, you know, it was... I then kind of thought, well, this is what it's like. This is all lesbians are like this. And this is how, you know, this is how you live as a lesbian in London. But that was all right. You know, it wasn't completely dreadful.
What was it that you saw that thought you had to live like?
Well, that's, you know, that you socialise all the time because that's the only context in which you meet people. It was slightly less... you know, butch femme, I think, than it had been, you know, if one talks to lots of other people and reads things. But it was still there.
What sort of year would this be?
This would be 75, 76. Okay.